Call his seat now. All the kids are back there in class, and we're going to study here in the Bible. So get your Bibles out now, and we're going to start tonight. I'm going to talk about a call. A call. There's a call. That song we sing, there's a call come ringing, or the restless waves, send the light, send the light. The name of our church is Shining Light Baptist Church. Shame on us if we don't let it shine. Shame on us if we don't put the light out before it's too late. Let me ask everybody in here a question. You say amen if you agree with this. We believe the Bible's true, right?
Amen.
All right. We believe there's a heaven, right?
Amen.
We believe there's a hell, right?
Amen.
All right. We believe people who are not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ go to hell when they die, right?
Amen.
I'm telling you, sometimes I wonder. I wonder by the way we live and think and the way we use our time, whether we really believe it or not. Now, I say I believe the Bible all the time. I always say I believe the Bible. I believe it all my life. But sometimes, you know, it really gets real.
Right.
And that's the way it would be good if we could stay like that all the time. When we say we believe there's a hell, but we really don't. We don't. I mean, we pass people up all the time and don't even try to witness to them. There's tracks back there, been in that rack for 3 months. They should, if we really believe people's going to burn in hell, it'd make a difference in the way we think, the way we talk, the places we go, the way we spend our time. I wouldn't have to beg you to witness. I wouldn't have to beg you to visit if we really believed. Now, take your Bible, turn to Matthew 28. And I want to show you something here tonight. And then we're going to several other scriptures here this evening. And I want to look again at Matthew 28 and verse number 19. This is what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ, the great commander to the church that he left on this earth. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. The last thing he said to his apostles, disciples, before he left. Look at it. This is for you, young people. This is for me, mamas and daddies. Go ye therefore. Go, that word go. Go. That's the first two letters in God. Go. First two letters in gospel. Go. Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations. Everybody. Everybody. The Lord wants the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, he's just talking to the apostles, preacher. Well, yeah, he was. But look what else he said. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Right? And lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. Amen. Now, he knew them apostles wasn't going to live forever. So he said, I want you guys to be like, Jeremy, stand up. Dusty, stand up. It'd be like these guys right here were the 12 disciples. And I'm the Lord. I'm getting ready to go back to heaven. And the last thing I say to them is, all right, you guys, go into all the nations and teach the gospel. There's a nation, there's a nation, there's a nation, there's a nation. All of y'all are the nations around the world. Wouldn't you feel bad if you was over here in this, say that's China, say that's Africa, say that's Japan, say that's South America. Wouldn't you feel bad if they went and told everybody else and didn't come tell you? The Lord said go into every country, teaching all nations. And then he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Get them saved. And then he said, teach them to observe what I've commanded you. So you know what they're supposed to teach them? They're supposed to teach them to go into all the world. And that come on down to me and you. By the way, that's how come me and you saved tonight. Somebody took that serious.
Right.
If it had been left up to some people, we'd have never got saved. Because nobody would have never told us.
Right.
Nobody would. If it had been left up to some people, no, why did they ever even knew there was a God or a Bible? Because nobody wouldn't have done that seriously. All right, sit down, fellas. All right, let's just say, Jeremy, you stand up again. All right, say he goes over here into China. Here's a Chinaman right here. Come over here and tell this Chinaman. He tells this Chinaman how to get saved. All right, Buddhas of the devil. Who do they worship in China? Buddha. All right, Buddhas from hell. Do you know that? All right, he gets saved. All right, bow your head and get saved. All right, then he says, teaching them to do what I taught you. All right, then he goes over and dies. Go over and die. He dies. The apostles have died out. Now it's up to him. Right? Now it's up to him. All right, ex-Buddha worshiper, you go into a foreign country. These people here are from, let's see where they look like they're from. Canada. Missed it, 100,000 miles. Hawaii, okay. These people are from Hawaii. There's a lot of people called to Hawaii, you know. Some of them young preachers up there at New Manna, they used to tell us all the time, they say, I feel called to witness on the beach. And I say, I bet you do, you hypocrite. But anyway, he goes to Hawaii, and then he wins them to the Lord. Win them to the Lord.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross?
Amen. Hallelujah. I got saved. There's a little more to it than that, but let's make it a little faster here. All right, yeah, Hector got saved. Amen. Eva got saved. All right, he dies. Go over and die. Now, he taught them. He died of a heart attack. He died of a heart attack. Now, y'all go and witness to these people right here. This lady here is from Africa. This man here is from Mars. All right. Even y'all go witness to them. Frank's from Mars. All right, you're going to witness to her. Tell her how to get saved. Are you willing to repent and quit drinking?
Yeah.
Get on her a little bit. All right, she got saved. Now you get one sinner, you go over and die. All right, she died. Then somebody told her, they died. Somebody told them, they died. Somebody told them, they died. Somebody told them, they died. And an old man named Joe Parson came to Nebo, North Carolina and had God on him and preached, and I got saved. Then I started preaching, started Shining Light Baptist Church. Some of y'all got saved. Listen, people, I don't understand how some of you people think you're exempt. I don't understand how people think because they can sing, that's their ministry. I don't understand how people can think, well, I give a lot, that's my calling. Everybody's called to go and tell somebody else. For you that never will go on visitation, I fuss at you and fuss at you and I fuss at you and I fuss at you and you still won't do it, you're going to be in trouble when the Lord comes. And you think you're so right with God because all the stuff you don't do. And sin is not just stuff you don't do. Or do is stuff you don't do. Or you don't do, you don't do, you do. That's right. You pray about that for a while. Sin is not just stuff you do. It's stuff you don't do. You're not right with God if you're not carrying out the Great Commission. I'm talking about sitting down, telling somebody Jesus died for you, and He's coming back, and I want you to get saved. You know, them preachers on FM radio, they don't tell you to do that. You know why? Because they don't do it. You know why? Because they don't take the gospel seriously. Jesus commanded, you one of them preachers that believes everybody ought to be a soul winner. Yes, I sure am. If you can't get out, you got a telephone. I know people was bedfast and couldn't get out and take the phone book and go down there and calling everybody in the A's, everybody in the B's. Jesus will be back before you get everybody called. That's right. And witness to them on home. Be a witness. Be a witness. People used to put a piece of paper in a bottle and throw it out there in the ocean. And there's been people saved. I heard about a guy, a man was visiting one time and he had this great big mantle, like a mantle over his fireplace, and he had a like an oyster shell up there and a piece of paper sticking out of it. He said, what in the world's that? Man said, that's how I got saved. He said, you're kidding. He said, no, I was deep sea diving and on the bottom of the ocean saw an oyster shell with a piece of paper in it and it was a track. Somebody stuck in there. And he got it and got saved. The Lord said, my word will not return void. Hey, you know what we need to do? Let's get our buses full, y'all. Let's get them full. It don't cost a bit more gas with 40 in them than it does with 10 or 15 or 20 in them. Let's get to work. We need help. Get off the seat of do nothing and get them on fire for God. I'm so sick and tired of people saying, well, I don't do this and I would never do that and I would never do that. Well, I'm proud of you. The Pharisees were the same way. That's good and you ought not to do nothing like that. But listen, that's just half of the Christian life. That's one half of it. The other half is not what you're not doing, but it's what you are doing. I ain't going to preach tonight. I'm just going to talk to you. We're going to talk about a call. A call. A call. We are called. The Lord commanded you to to take the gospel to every creature and teach them what he taught you. Amen.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. Listen, we took 29 teenagers. Well, there's countless adults. There's about 27 teenagers, or 26, went to Walmart and gave out tracts the other day for Bible school. And look, I told them, anybody in the world can do this. Watch very carefully. You must not know how, because you ain't doing it, or else you don't believe the Bible won. Hey, ma'am, give you something to read when you get time? I'll tell you about your best friend. All right, is there anybody in here who can't do that? Is there anybody in here that cannot do that? One of the girls over there the other night, I said, all right, girl, we give everybody about 6-7 tracts. I said, go get it. We spread out all over Walmart parking lot. And one of them, I told him, I said, don't get in front of the door. Sure enough, they did. And the manager came out and said, y'all can't do this. And I slapped her as hard as I could. No, I didn't. I said, look, ma'am, this is a Bible school project. These kids ain't going to hurt nothing. We'll be gone in a few minutes. She said, okay. And I was real nice to her and polite to her. And I thought, man, if we ain't getting run off once in a while, we ain't doing nothing for God. If we ain't getting fussed at, if you don't raise some kind of ruckus in the community, the preacher and the whole church is backslid. Amen? Lord, boy, I told him, I said, use your sword, y'all. Draw some blood with that thing. A fireman don't just sit around in the firehouse all the time and shine the equipment and shine the tires and shine the fire. They go out and put fires out. And all churches do is come and we look at the great doctrines of the gospel and we sing all the wonderful songs and we go through all the rituals and boy, we don't ever do nothing with it. A man sits around shining his shotgun all the time and so that I can aim and gets his bullets out. But ain't going to do no good if he don't go shoot something with it. And you can stand here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But if you ain't witnessing, you're just halfway doing what a Christian's supposed to do. Everybody in here. If you got kids in school, there's your time right there while they're at school. If you work a job, God's put you there as a missionary. If you live in your community, go. Have you been to everybody around your community and witnessed to them and told them about? You say, well, Brother Danny, when I invite people to church, they get mad. A little persecution is good for you. I told them kids, I said, this is good for us. Getting run off. I told her, I've been run off from worse places than this before. No, I didn't say that. But getting run off from a place for witnessing, it's been a while. It's good for us. That's the way it ought to be. The world ain't supposed to love us. The Lord said if they hated me, they'll hate you. Y'all too cold, ain't you? You're too cold. We don't need them when it's this warm. All right. Look at here. Here I go again. You say, well, I'm shy, preacher. I'm not bold and brave like you are. Okay, here's what you do. Can I get something brave? God bless you. Suck your thumb and do it anyway. Amen? You say, well, I'm scared. Pray, God give me boldness. God give me boldness. You know what? I was going to give you a little outline tonight, but I'm telling you what, it's burning in my heart. I've been praying all day and I've been begging the Lord to do something for us. It's just ridiculous to me. I see these, we used to go over in Lenore on bus route on Saturday, way out that way in Lenore. And they'd be one of them churches, there'd be a big Methodist church or a big Baptist church or a big Presbyterian church. And there would be about 10 teenagers not dressed right with signs, honest to goodness, as big as this right here, out on the highway saying, woo, woo, car wash, woo. And we go by the way. And you got a bunch of teenage girls out there waving at every man that drives by. And they think that's all right. Come get your car washed so we can take a trip to Carowind. Come get your car washed. That's a real ministry there. And boy, I'm telling you, they'll be there. And I thought, wonder if you got those same teenagers that said, all right, this Saturday, we're going to give you some tracks. and we're going to give them out at the shopping center. You know what they'd say? Uh-uh. I ain't doing that. Isn't it weird how that just automatically a spirit comes over you and you don't want a witness? What do you think that is? How come you can hold up a sign that says car wash and you die before you get out of gospel tract and tell? How come? Look, they don't care to advertise the flu shots. They don't care to talk about get your kid vaccinated, get them good, get them here, keep them in their seatbelt. We're trying to save lives. We're trying to save souls, people. We're trying to save souls. You know what we ought to do? Everybody in here ought to make up your mind tonight. Lord, I am gonna witness. I'm going to. Now we go on Saturday and I go to the hospitals, I go to other places, but officially we go on Saturday morning. If you have to work and can't, pick you another time and do it then. But if you don't set a time and say, all right, Tuesday night at 7:00, I'm going. If you don't, you won't do it. You won't do it. You won't do it. And if you don't, you won't stay balanced. You get overbalanced in your Christian life. You lose touch with reality. And you lose the blessing that God wants to put on your life. Have you been to your neighbors? Have you been to your neighbors? Have you been to your neighbors? Yes, sir.
What happened to the old saying that Jerry Falwell, Jack Collins,
said,
if you were to put somebody in Christ in the last 3 months, you're vaccinated. I heard this all my life.
I have too.
You've come in, nobody repeats it anymore.
Well, it ain't in the Bible.
Well, it may be, but I called Burl Ackerman one time and I said, why did they say 3 or 4 months? He said, well, if you've witnessed every day like the 6 times it says, chances are in 90 days that you've done put out on
the agree. Night, I agree. I agree. Amen. I agree. I agree. It ain't in the Bible, but it's a good thought, and I agree with it. Yeah, if we're right with God, the first thing you do when you get right with God, you bear fruit. The first thing you do, you bear fruit. You bear fruit. And somebody said, well, the fruit is joy, love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Reproduce yourself. Preachers make preachers. If a man's really called by God to preach, there'll be other preachers come up under his ministry. It's always been that way. Preachers produce preachers. Soul winners produce soul winners. We influence people. We make them what we are. And so we're going to witness. We're going to witness. Let me show you something here. Let's see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just a minute. We won't stay too long. I really hadn't planned on even going all this direction tonight, but it's heavy on my heart. Maybe somebody's got a loved one here that maybe your life's changed to witness to them. Be this week. I look at my neighbors. I've told y'all about my neighbors. I got this. Most of my neighbors, they all know me. And when I run, that little lady sitting on the porch. Hey, Danny. Hey, Danny. Hey. And I know all of them. And I've talked to all of them. But we got this one guy. Remember I told you about him? Hold your place there. He lives in a trailer about halfway down my road. And one day I got under a burden and I said, I'm going to every house down to Hoppy Tom. I go to Florida and I go to New York, California, and everywhere else and preach. I got a witness right here at home. Ain't that right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, I ain't got much confidence a man says I'm going to be a missionary and go to China and be a witness if he won't even witness here. I mean, if he ain't going to do it here, he ain't going to do it over there. I know some of them's done that. They won't hit a lick here and try to get you to support them, go do something over there. It's like if you ain't doing something now, God's probably not going to graduate you on up. God don't put people in positions because of their talent or their gift. He puts them in there because of their faithfulness. Now, Amos, and all them guys said, the Lord took me as I followed the sheep. The Lord took me as I followed the sheep. God will look down and he'll see somebody that's helping people and following the sheep, and then he'll bless them and use them all up. But anyway, what was it about my neighbor? He gave him the trailer, and I knocked on every door down Hoppy Tom. And I went to his house, and I went to the back door, and I went, and the door was like sort of open or something. And I saw him. He was standing over here at the sink, kitchen sink. And he turned around like that. And I just sort of stuck my head in the door and said, hey, how you doing? And here's where he went. And just kept washing dishes. Didn't even speak. So I stood there another minute. I said, doing all right? He didn't even look at me. He would not even acknowledge me being there. You know what that is? That's good for you. Everybody here needs to do that. Good for you. Somebody needs to just ignore you and hurt your feelings once in a while. Let you know what it feels like to be rejected. And man, I felt like a fool. He never even spoke to me. I said, well, I'll be seeing you. Jesus loves you. And turned around and left. He never did even look. Wouldn't give me time of day. And you say, well, Brother Danny, that would have hurt my feelings. Well, that hurt my feelings. But I tell you one thing. At the judgment day, I mean, I ain't going to have his blood dripping off my hands. I went. And if he'd let me, I'd have took the Bible and talked to him all the way to Calvary. But he wouldn't know. I saw him the other day. And he's mowing the grass. And I run all the way right by his house. And I keep thinking, he's going to look. And when he looks, I'll do like this. And he won't even look. And I don't even know his name. So I think the Lord's going to lead Kelly down there to talk to him. I'm just kidding. But have you been to see, you say, look, you will get rejected. That's good for you. That's good for you. It wouldn't hurt us to have a little persecution once in a while. Wouldn't hurt us a bit. It wouldn't hurt some of these big shot Christians that just go from camp meeting to youth meeting to this meeting that, and they're surrounded by people that love them all the time. They need to get out and get cussed out once in a while. Amen. Amen. You need it to keep you balanced. You start taking yourself too serious if you just hang around with Christians all the time. Get out there in the battle, brother. Get out there in the battle. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Constraineth us. Well, that's a strong word. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Lord in mercy. What a passage of Scripture. That verse said, the love of Christ constraineth us. It pulls us. It drags us. It gets a hold of us. Now turn to Acts chapter 16. Back to your left a little bit. We're going to do a little study here in Acts chapter number 16. And look with me, if you will, at verse 9. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And we'll see here verse number 9. Acts 16, 9. Paul had this vision here. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuringly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Paul had this dream, and there's this man in Macedonia saying, help us, help us. You've got what we need. I thought about that. And I thought all the thousands of times we run up and down this interstate, go in our driveways, go in our communities, and in our houses, and there's people in there saying, help us, help us. Listen, y'all, I think some of y'all think I make too much of the bus ministry. I probably don't make enough of it. The bus ministry is the best tool in America for reaching local people in local communities. Nothing reaches the bus more people than the bus ministry. Our bus ministry, I'm convinced, reaches more people face-to-face witnessing to them than any other ministry in Burke County. I'd say, if you know of one that talks to more people face-to-face on a weekly basis, I'd like to know about it. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. You know what? Our bus kids, we can't let them down. They depend on us. Have you? Sometimes you don't see them for a while and you forget about them. And even bus workers, sometimes we let one slip through the crack and we forget about them. But something happened last Saturday. Them and us and Carrie, and we was out visiting in the trailer park up here the other day, and we knocked on this door. Big old heavy set boy come to the door. Name's James. Y'all know James. And now this Saturday before last, that's right. And we saw him this Saturday too. And I said, how you doing, James? And you know what he said? He said, where y'all been? He's never been to our church. He's never been one time. And he said, where y'all been? I thought y'all would give up because it was hot weather. And you know what? Stuff started going through my mind like crazy. I thought, Lord have mercy, here's a man that's never even been to our church. And he started looking for us on Saturday. He started wondering, are them people going to come to my house today? Are them people going to knock on my door? Are them people? I said, we ain't quit because it's hot weather. I said, I've been traveling a lot, been gone a few Saturdays, but we ain't quit because it's hot weather. We ain't quitting when it's cold weather neither, by God's grace. We ain't quitting when it's raining, and we ain't quitting when it's too warm or too cold, by God's grace. And you know what? I got to thinking, them people are looking for us. I'll never forget hearing Dr. Bob Gray tell a story of how he went out and got these bus kids, and they was way out in the country, and it was one of these driveways like Molly's, y'all. Some of y'all been to Molly's trailer. I wish all of y'all would go. Every one of you. It would do you so much good to go see where them kids live. I mean, the road's like boom, 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 off the ditch. The bus run the ditch over there one Sunday. And when it rains, it ain't nothing but a mud hole. And these kids live way out on an old little bitty tiny road. You know, them roads where grass grows in the middle of them. And it keeps getting littler and littler and littler and littler. And Bob Gray said he went and witnessed these kids. And he told them, they said they'd come to church. And it was on Sunday evening. And he said, it rained and it rained and it poured and it poured. And he said it was an awful storm, couldn't see to drive. And he said, all evening I thought, well, them kids ain't going to come. I ain't going all the way out there. It's raining too hard. I can't see. It's muddy. I'm not going to go all the way out there. That's too far. But he said, I told him I'd do it. So I drove my car and drove my car. And I was about late for church. And I drove. He said, you can just see the windshield wipers just doing like this. And he said he finally made it out to that old, through the mud to that old house. And he said, sure enough, there was that little boy and girl. They come running out and said, preacher, we thought you wasn't coming. We thought you wasn't coming. And jumped in the car and went to the house of God. Now, let me tell you something here this evening. That's what it's all about, y'all. That's what it's all about. And you know what? He brought them to church. What if he had just let the devil have his way? What if we just said, times are too hard, gas is too high, diesel's $3 a gallon. Let's just quit the bus ministry, y'all. Some of y'all would like it. Hey, I wonder about your soul, brother. There's something wrong with you. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot just let those kids do without and do without a way to church and do without hearing the gospel. Say amen right there. Y'all thank God I believe like that. The preachers are a dime a dozen that don't care. Churches are everywhere that don't reach out and get them. You ought to thank God we go to a church where the pressure's on you to go out and reach somebody for Jesus Christ. Amen. They look for that bus. They look for that bus. I was at flea market one day. And sometimes you don't see them for a while and they grow fast. And they really do. And one said, hey, Brother Danny. I said, is that you? Lord, I seen one of their bus kids, and I thought, good night. Man, what you been eating? And they just shoot up like that right there. And I said, boy, we need you to come to church. And they go like this. I know, I need to be there. I know, because I know the Lord's there. And you know something? I'm not talking about just bus kids. I'm talking about your neighbor that sees your car leave every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. They may not ever come to church, but you can witness to them and tell them how to get saved. Even if they never step foot in this church, give them the gospel. I'd like to challenge everybody here tonight, and I'm going to be through. I'd like to challenge everybody here tonight, give somebody the gospel before, not just, hey, God loves you. You know, I mean, that's good. Not just come see us sometime. That's good. I challenge everybody here, try to give somebody the gospel before this week's out. Within the next week, give somebody the gospel. Like Brother Fred said, over and over and over, the Bible talks about personal. Jesus preached some of his best sermons to one person. Nicodemus, woman at the well. He didn't have to have a crowd. I know preachers that won't preach if they ain't got a crowd. I had a preacher tell me one time, and I told him I wanted him to preach one morning at our camp meeting. And he said something to the effect of, I'm not a morning preacher. Like, he's too important to preach in one of those morning services where the crowd's not big. He has to have the night service. And I just scratched him off the list. Man ain't willing to preach in a morning service, ain't got no business preaching in a night service. A preacher that thinks he's too good to get down in a dirty road somewhere and witness to a sinner and put his arm around a drunk and try to give him church needs to get right with God himself. That's right. That's right. I mean, listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that's where me and you could be tonight. I'm glad, thank God, somebody, I'm glad somebody believed like I do 30 years ago, or I'd have never got saved. I'm glad my pastor believed you're supposed to get out and tell somebody. And you better be glad your pastor did, because some of you would have never got saved. Where would you be if somebody hadn't have took that serious and got out and knocked on your door or invited you to church? All right? Does anybody want to say anything? Miss Dessie, you come. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want to come to the altar, all right. If you want to pray there at your seat, all right. But we're going to ask God to help every one of us to witness to somebody within the next week or this weekend. Give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. Open the door. She's playing softly. You let God speak to your heart tonight. Right now, just say, Dear Lord, my cousin, my brother, my aunt, my uncle, my neighbor, somebody you work with, your boss at work. You just tell the Lord right now. Dear God, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd give every one of us a desire to be a soul winner. Lord, every one of us, Lord, don't let us be content just getting in the car and going to church without trying to reach somebody else. Lord, don't let us be content just to live for you and read our Bible and go to sleep every night. Lord, give us a burden. Give us a burden for souls. Help us to care about our neighbors. Help us to care about our loved ones. Help us to care about our family. Help us to care about the people we work with. Lord, bless all the kids that get ready to go to school. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. We love you. God, help us to do right. Help us to serve you, Lord, with all of our might, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Have your way in our lives, Lord. We love you tonight. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. God, I pray, Lord, for anybody here tonight who needs help. Lord, that you'd help them, Lord, in any way. God, that one that's struggling, give them help tonight. That one that needs a victory, give them victory tonight. Lord Jesus, put the burden on our heart to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. Whatever you do for us, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. 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 Now she's playing tonight. We got plenty of these right here. Let me tell you what everybody can do. I didn't mention this. Get you some of these and go round you up a bunch of kids for Sunday night. Your kids, your sister's kids, your neighbor's kids. This tells all about it. Signs of the time, video. We'll see a bunch of people get saved Sunday night. I mean, one time, about 2 years ago, man, a church was comfortably full on that Sunday night. So, take these things. That's what they're for. It's got the plan of salvation on the back. It's got our church times on the back. Good advertisement for our church. And Kelly made these, done a real good job on them. So get these. Get these and get them out of here. Get them out of here. Don't waste them. But take what you'll use. Okay? Amen. All right. Get these and we're going to get out of here and get these things going. Make some phone calls. And bring you a crowd Sunday night. Get them in here Sunday night. The Lord bless you for it, okay? All right. Does anybody have any questions or comments? We're going to meet here Friday evening at 5:30. 5:30. We want everybody to go. And we'll be a witness all day Saturday. Go back and preach Saturday night. Come here Sunday morning. Sunday night, our big back-to-school bash. So don't forget it, okay? Amen. All right. Let's stand.